You've tuned in to Naturopathy Earth Radio in occult health news, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathy Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of MP Radio in Occult Health News. I hope you're doing well today. Today we're going to discuss the possible links between silicone implants in the breasts and some rare forms of diseases. Before I begin, the website is naturopathicearth.com, naturopathicearth.com, because we embrace naturopathy and natural remedies as a first line of defense, along with clean eating and good sleeping and botanical science, before going down the road of drugs or invasive surgeries. That's essentially the mission statement of the website and of this podcast, along with shedding light on medical cover-ups. So guys, please check out the website. We have a new contributing editor and contributing writer, Irina. She's a Russian-Canadian. She wrote her first article on Are All Calories Created Equal? So I'm glad to bring her on board, and I'm going to interview her in the recent future. As you guys know, we have two ways to generate income to help Kate and myself, who are just poor public school teachers. One is to purchase Confessions of an Obese Child, which is available on Amazon Kindle or Barnes & Noble Nook for $2.99. There's links on these episode notes. Also, we have a Patreon account, which is a crowdfunding account. Also, on the episode notes, follow the links, and you can donate 5 centavos, 10 centavos, 20 centavos for some chicle. But you can donate anywhere from $1 to $5 to $10 a month. That would help go a great distance in helping defray some of the costs of just maintaining the website and the podcast. I am a certified Paleo Health Inspired coach. If you need to lose some weight or just want to clean up your diet, contact me and I can help you with that. As it is, if you opt in on the website at Naturopathic Earth, you get an initial consultation by email with me. So that is an incentive for you to put in your email. And of course, I don't sell that to third parties because I honestly don't know how to do that. It's just a way for me to communicate with you. All right. And the last thing I do want to mention is another way to generate income is that if you notice some of our articles, especially the ones that deal with food, there are hyperlinks to them that connect you to Amazon. If you click on those links and anything that you purchase within 24 hours through those links, I get a small commission of 3%. So that is great. So if you know you're going to buy some stuff on Amazon, why not go through my website to get to Amazon? And it doesn't have to be any purchases that are connected to whatever link. So if I was talking about dark chocolate and there's a link to buy dark chocolate, you don't have to buy dark chocolate. You can go through that link and then go buy a flat screen TV and I would get 3% of the commission. I'm an Amazon affiliate. So that would help as well. All right, let's get to it. All right, why did I want to do this topic? I think one of the reasons is that the majority of my listeners are female. So if any of you men are listening, please don't be like, I don't want to listen to this podcast. It's all girls. In general, they tend to be female. And I've covered other female health-related issues. We did the documentary Bleeding Edge podcast episode about 10 episodes back. We've done some on hormonal contraceptives. We did an episode on vaginal probiotics. Are they legit? Are they a scam? So women's issues are important to me because I have daughters and I have a mother. So I wanted to tackle this issue because there's been some recent news that has brought this to the attention of the masses. And I know that a lot of women are interested, or at least their curiosity is piqued on getting implants. So I'm going to be gleaning off an article from Science Daily, which is from September 17th of 2018. So it's very recent. Women receiving silicone breast implants may be at an increased risk of several rare adverse outcomes compared to the general population, reports a study in the Annals of Surgery. Annals with two N's, dirty minds, not one N. Quote, We are reporting an analysis of the largest prospective study to date on silicone breast implant safety. Close quote. Comments Mark W. Clemens, MD and colleague at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, Houston. Ah, my father was a pathologist there for 35 years. It's one of the best cancer institutes in the world. Quote, we are sharing critical information on complication rates and rare associations with systemic harms. This data gives women important safety information about silicone breast implants to have real expectations and to help them choose what is right for them. Close quote. In the early 1990s, the FDA prohibited the use of silicone breast implants in response to public concerns about health risks, including cancer, connective tissue diseases, and autoimmune diseases. We're going to talk about this in a second. So they were banned. So people were doing more of the saline implants, which, trust me, were not not much better. Subsequent research found no link between breast implants and these diseases. I wonder how fraudulent that science was or how bought off it was. In 2006, the FDA approved silicone gel-filled implants from two manufacturers, Allergan and Mentor Corp., stipulating that the manufacturers conduct large post-approval studies, or LPASs, to monitor long-term health and safety outcomes. Did they do those things? I'm a little incredulous. Quote, despite abundant data collection and open public access, the LPAS database had not yet been analyzed and reported, close quote, according to Dr. Clemens. The researchers analyzed data on nearly 100,000 patients enrolled in the LPAS between 2007 and 2009. More than 80,000 patients received silicone implants. The rest received implants filled with sterile saline solution. Okay, so these companies were tracking these patients who got these implants, but they never really analyzed it until now, until MD Anderson did it through Dr. Clemens. So let's see what they found out. 72% of the patients underwent primary breast augmentation, 15% had a revision augmentation, and 10% had primary breast reconstruction, and 3% had revision reconstructive procedures. The large size of the database, so 100,000, enabled researchers to assess the risk of rare adverse outcomes. All right, so most of these were just women who wanted bigger breasts, and 10% were those who probably had a mastectomy because they had breast cancer, and so they wanted to have breast reconstruction and augmentation, which makes sense, right? Because it's almost like the equivalent of something happening to the male penis. Women who have a mastectomy who don't have breasts, it's very defeminizing. So let's see what this study came out. Women receiving silicone implants were at an increased risk of several rare harms compared to the general population. The elevated risk included three conditions classified as autoimmune or rheumatologic disorders. Sjogren's syndrome, with a risk of about 8 times higher than in the general population. Scleroderma, a 7-fold increase in risk. And rheumatoid arthritis, about a 6-fold increase in risk. All right. Dr. Clemens said, quote, these findings are associations compared to the general population, and determining why these associations are observed in any causation requires further study. Okay, so he's not general indicting the silicone implants. But the whole idea about these, the Sjogren's and the scleroderma and the rheumatoid arthritis makes complete sense. Similar to the IUD episode that we did about 10 episodes back, and to the Esher, which is the permanent contraceptive episode we did, which was part of the Bleeding Edge documentary episode, if you want to listen to that. It makes sense. You're putting a foreign body into the body. So when we put a foreign body, the body's going to attack it as it is because it's a foreign body. And so lots of times this, you can see this with vaccines and any implants that you put in. When we put something in the body's like, we need to get this out. And so it turns on the immune system to fight the foreign invader. And the problem with that is that sometimes we just can't turn it off. We can't turn off the sentries. We can't, that's S-E-N-T-R-I-E-S. We can't turn them off. And so it causes flare-ups in different parts of the body that are autoimmune. We know that autoimmune disorders are skyrocketing in America. And there's a host of theories as to why that is, but we've talked about this in previous episodes as well, how there's a higher rate now of Hashimoto's with the thyroid, with Crohn's disease, with celiac, with the intestines, with skin disorders like psoriasis, in general, rheumatoid arthritis. So it's a problem, but let's continue. There's more problems. Silicone implants were also associated with a 4.5 fold increase in the risk of stillbirths, but no significant increase in the risk of miscarriage. Whew. Yeah, stillbirths are so much better than miscarriages. Yeah, I think it's so much better to carry a child full term and then they come out dead. Not to be flippant. Risk of melanoma, a serious type of skin cancer, was nearly 4 times higher in women with silicone breast implants. There was no significant association with the risk of suicide, which had been suggested by a previous study. Whew, good to know that's not there, risk of suicide. The database included just one case of breast implant associated with anaplastic large cell lymphoma, a rare but serious type of cancer previously linked to breast implants. Yeah, you might have been hearing that a lot in the news, the whole idea of the anaplastic large cell lymphoma. They call it the ALCL. But still, I mean, these are serious problems. Compared to saline-filled implants, silicone implants were also linked to a higher risk of some surgical complications. These included capsular contracture, which is scarring around the implant, which occurred at a rate of 5% with silicone implants versus 2.8% with saline-filled implants. Capsular contracture occurred in 7% of primary breast augmentation procedures and was the most common reason for reoperation in this group. Okay, so 7%, almost 10% of a higher rate of scarring and then infection. While certain rare harms appeared to be more common in women with silicone implants, absolute rates of these adverse outcomes were low. It's good to know. The researchers emphasize that their results are inconclusive due to limitations inherent in the use of post-approval databases, including the lack of complete patient information and individual follow-up data. Quote, to resolve the remaining uncertainty in the evidence base, it is important that this data be analyzed in an unbiased manner, says Dr. Clemens and the co-authors. Quote, it remains the plastic surgery community's duty to provide definitive evidence for the risk associated with breast implants, close quote. Yeah, and I'm very positive that the plastic surgery community is going to be so forthright in providing this information. Of course, you know, they're not, because this has to do with money. This has to do with their baby. As with any industry or any company, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them, and they're not going to go out of their way to be so forthright about the complications that can come from their procedures. They're going to try to obfuscate that. Okay, let's take a quick break. Okay, now we're going to glean off an article from the New York Times from March of this year. More cases were reported of unusual cancer linked to breast implants. More cases of an unusual cancer linked to breast implants have been recorded by the FDA, the agency said on Wednesday. The case count rose in the past year to 414 cases from 359, the agency said. The number of deaths it had recorded, 9, has not changed from a year ago. The FDA's figures include cases from the United States and other countries. The disease is not breast cancer per se, but it's a malignancy of the immune system called breast implant-associated anaplastic large cell lymphoma. So we had just talked about that. When detected early, it can be usually cured by surgery alone by removing the implant and the capsular of scar tissue that forms around it. But some women have needed more extensive treatment with chemo and radiation, and the disease can be fatal, as demonstrated by those numbers. A major symptom is swelling around the implant, which has occurred from 2 to 28 years after the surgery, with a median of 8 years. In women with no symptoms, there is no reason to remove implants or even to screen for the disease. The lymphoma is more likely to occur in women with implants that have had textured coating. This is very important. As opposed to a smooth cover, the agency said. No connection has been found between the disease and what is inside the implants, salt water, or silicone. Okay, that's good to know too. So it's more about the texture. Nor is a lymphoma associated with breast cancer per se. It is just as likely to occur in women who choose implants for cosmetic reasons as in those who receive them during reconstructive surgery after breast cancer. Textured implants have roughened surfaces that may act as an irritant in some women, provoking inflammation that can then lead to the lymphoma, which is cancer of the lymph system, researchers say. Another theory is that the texturing might trap bacteria and that a chronic infection could also bring on the lymphoma cancer. Doctors and patients sometimes prefer textured implants because they are less likely to shift out of position than smooth ones, as tissue grows into the roughened surface and holds the implant tight in place. In the United States, most implants are smooth. Textured ones are more popular in Europe. All right. Mark Murmer, a spokesman for Allergan, one of the major manufacturers of these breast implants, said by email that the company was paying for research by outside investigators into causes of the lymphoma, working with plastic surgery societies on improved surgical techniques, adding information about the disease to its labeling and website, and giving surgeons educational material for patients. He also said that on January 1st, Allergan changed the warranty on its textured implant to cover treatment for Allergan patients who received a diagnosis of the implant-associated lymphoma on or after that date, regardless of the implantation date. That's great. That's great to know. I would like to see more awareness of the fact that the textured ones, greatly increase your chances of getting this sort of lymphoma. But of course, you know, a lot of it though is it really doesn't matter what Allergan posts on stuff or what they tell the doctors, because they all know that this is a kind of demand oriented thing. There's always going to be women who want breast implants. And I think even with a lot of these women, even if you were to tell them there's an increased chance of lymphoma, increased chance of stillbirths, they don't care. So it's kind of like all these smoking cessation ads that you see smoking companies do, where they're like, oh, this is sponsored by Philip Morris. They know that people are hooked, so it really doesn't matter that they have all these warnings. I think it's the same thing here with the breast implants. Women who are going to get breast implants, I'd say about 80% of them are going to get them either way, even if you tell them about all the risks and all the issues. Compared with the number of women with breast implants, the number of lymphoma cases is very small. In the United States, about 300,000 women a year get implants for cosmetic reasons, and another 150 for reconstruction after cancer surgery. Worldwide, about 10 million women have implants. 10 million. But in America, it's about 300,000 a year just get it for cosmetic reasons. Dr. Asher said that in response to concerns expressed by women who have had the lymphoma, the FDA has changed the language on its website to refrain from calling the disease rare. Good. Instead, the agency gives the odds that it will occur in a woman who has textured implants from 1 in 30,000 to 1 in 3,000. That is a humongous higher rate from going 1 in 30,000 to 1 in 3,000. Well, you're like, oh, well, Gregory, come on, that's not a lot, 1 in 3,000. Okay, well, let's look at the number that get it annually. 300,000 women get implants annually. That means, if my math is not super off here, what is that, 10,000? 10,000 maybe? 10,000 women out of this 300,000 are going to get this type of lymphoma. That seems relatively high. Now, of course, my statistics could be off here. Too bad Kate's not here, because she's a math and computer science teacher. She would help me with 1 in 30,000 to 1 in 3,000. If I slash off the zeros off the 3,000, I think it's still going to be 10,000 women get this. So again, that is not super rare. Advocates for women with the disease, who have met several times with the FDA officials, said that they hope that the agency would discourage the use of textured implants. Really, I totally agree with that too. But Dr. Ashar said that although the FDA wanted women to know that the lymphoma was more likely to occur with textured implants, there was not enough data for the FDA to advise against them. Decisions about implants should be made by patients and their doctors after a thorough discussion of what is known, she said, adding, quote, I don't think we have much more to offer beyond that at this point. Oh, close quote. I have some issues with this. Yeah. There's not enough data for the FDA to advise against them. Oh, I think there's quite enough, but I think the whores from the lobby groups are influencing the execs in the FDA, the revolving door execs that all go back to the big business companies after they spend their time in the FDA or big food or big drug. I think that's the real reason. And then I love this. Decisions about implants should be made by patients and their doctors. Yeah, what's that discussion? The woman comes in, I want a boob job. The plastic surgeon says, okay. That's the discussion, pretty much. I don't think there's a lot of scrupulous plastic surgeon and be like, you know what, miss, you have nice breasts and I don't think you need this. Most plastic surgeons are going to be, okay, yeah, if you want it, I'll give it to you. I don't care. Oh yeah, there might be a slight risk. Yeah, and then the woman's like, oh, okay, I don't care. So I think that's what the discussion is. All right, so let's finish up. Okay, so what's the takeaway from this episode? The takeaway is this. It's always about shedding light on things that we normally don't hear about. And I just wanted to bring to your attention, ladies, that if you're contemplating getting a silicone implant, just know that you had a higher risk of getting lymphoma, which is cancer of the lymph and lymphatic system. You have a higher rate of getting a melanoma, which is a skin cancer. You have a higher rate of stillbirths. You have a higher rate of infections. And you have a higher rate of autoimmune problems, 4 to 5 times fold increase. These are serious things. I'm not necessarily dissuading you from getting an implant. Well, actually, let me revise that. Yes, I am dissuading you from getting an implant. Now, if you've had breast cancer and you've had your breasts removed, double mastectomy or even one mastectomy, I can understand why you would want to have breast augmentation. And there, I don't begrudge you that. I understand that completely because you want to feel feminine. This is more geared toward women who don't like their breasts. They have maybe an A size, B size, or whatever it is. I just want you to, and it's just like with medications, you know, you got to read the inserts. You got to do the research on your own because you can't believe the doctors. You can't trust the doctors. You certainly can't trust the commercials that you hear pushed by Big Pharma. It's the same thing here. You got to do the research, just like with the IUDs, just like with the e-shirts, just like with any implant that you have in it. You do the research and then weigh the pros and cons. Is it really that important for you to get new breasts? Now, I understand that you might have small breasts, and I understand that you feel like men judge women by their breast size. I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for all men. But most men, and I think a lot of men, would not really advise their wives or their women to get breast implants. Now, of course, there are going to be men like, yeah, I want you to get the double D because I'm hooked on porn and I want you to look like the porn women who have the overly large mammary glands. Sure, I think there's some men who are like that, but I think a lot of husbands would be like, you know, honey, I like you the way you are. I really don't think you need to get breast implants. You know, not to mention it makes mammograms much harder to get. In addition to all these other issues and these implants, you typically have to have them removed and then get new ones in. So it's not like a one and done surgery. And not to mention they cost a lot of money. So I would say, ladies, just accept your breasts for the way they are. Most men don't care. Most men don't care. They are happy with your breasts. So don't fall for big advertising. Don't fall for the fashion magazines. Don't fall for these body dysmorphic views of what is the ideal beauty of women and that all women need to have large breasts. That is nonsensical. Don't fall into that. Be a nonconformist. Don't be a sheeple. That's what the plastic surgeons want. Of course, the plastic surgeons want you to feel insecure. The fashion mags want you to feel insecure. Hollywood wants you to make insecure because there's profit to be made from your insecurity. So don't fall for that. Be comfortable with who you are and the breasts that you have. If for any other reason, I mean, later down the road, you might not be thinking about it, but you might be one of these women that ends up with lymphoma and an autoimmune problem and all these issues that are going to affect you possibly for the rest of your life. So please just step back, be comfortable with your body, and don't get the implants. All right, guys, please hit the subscribe button. As always, these episodes will come directly to you. And as always, please, please, please post a review for this episode on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to it. And as well for Confessions of an Obese Child, which I hope to have a new episode soon. And Kate's Apothecary. Until next time, guys, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Occult Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Occult Health News and at our Facebook page at Naturopathy Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to this. And remember the core belief at NPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time. Music attributed to Nine Inch Nails.